Hi, everybody, it's Michelle. This is our Love Your Words second call in the Loving Kindness series. It is, what did I just say, May 4th? It's hard to believe, I have to look twice. May 4th, 2021. So happy to see you here. I know there's been a ton of support in our community in the last while between our half-day retreat yesterday and the full week of the Facebook challenge. And then, of course, our Loving Kindness call on Thursday and this Tuesday earlier. So a lot to serve and support you. And I just want to say, if you've picked up even one piece from any one of these calls and really implement it, really run with it in your company, any one of these pieces could move the needle for you and really change things that are going on for you in your life, in your company, in your world. So let's start today, as we do in Shavasana. And lately, I've been encouraging you to go camera off for this, just so you have that, what one of my friends calls video privacy, Zoom privacy. We're on so much of the time, and here you get to be off in your own quiet space. So find a comfortable place. Always, when you can, if you can do Shavasana rather than a seated meditation, I always would prefer that you do that. And try to find a place where you're not going to be disturbed. So nobody walking in and out, a quiet place, the best you can. Lying on your back, place support beneath your head and neck so that the chin is lower than the forehead. Place support beneath the upper thighs, or place the calves up on a chair. If your low back is uncomfortable, I want you to be really comfortable. Everything we do in this practice is a metaphor. And if we don't take the time to be comfortable here, where else are we staying in the kind of discomfort that we don't need? Entrepreneurs are on the cutting edge. We want to get outside the comfort zone, yes. But to do that, we need deep ease in the body. We need to be able to release and relax to be on that cutting edge as entrepreneurs. And so we need to know what comfort and being supported feels like. And we learn that right here in this pose. What are you tolerating? I know I did this even long after becoming a yoga teacher, after many years of study. It's like, oh, that little thing, that's okay. It always feels that way. Take the time to be comfortable. What does your body need right here and now to be at ease? Once you've made any adjustments, you need to be comfortable. Then check and see if your body is aligned. Are your arms equidistant from the center line? Legs equidistant from the center line? Are your sides of the feet resting on the floor, touching in the same place? Or is one side of the foot touching more toward the toes than the other? The hip is more open. So can you adjust so that there is evenness? We learn to pay attention to the details in Shavasana. Same thing with the hands. So once you've adjusted the legs, check and see, is your palms are facing up. They're in a low V, palms up position. So arms straight in a V position from the body. And is one palm, or the back of the hand, is it more on the thumb side than the other? Check and see. Awareness of what is. This is, we need this so much as entrepreneurs. Do we know what's going on at a detailed level in our lives, in our companies, in the person in front of us? So the palm that's up, or the back of the hand that's on the floor with the thumb side closer to the floor, that shoulder is probably more open. Can you adjust the other arm right from the shoulder to roll it just a little bit further out so that the thumb side of the hand is resting evenly on the floor with the other hand? Paying attention to the details. Gaining the support that you need. Finding balance. The practice is a metaphor. It has a ripple effect in our lives. If you haven't already done so, softly close your eyes. And with the next exhalation, deeply let go. Let go of any tension you're holding in the body anywhere. Let go of any thoughts that arise. Let go of what came before or what's coming after. Just be here with with this breath here and now. And as you watch the breath, notice that there's no effort to breathe, simply being breathed by the universe. And as you watch the breath, let each breath take you deeper and deeper into silence. Any thoughts that arise, let them go. Return to the breath. Notice the quality of your being here. Are you all here? Are you giving yourself the gift fully present of this time? Some part of you, two little cells holding back, busy with other things, be here. Watch the breath. Take this time for yourself. And then allow your breath to deepen. Start to move in any way that feels good to you. Bend the knees, roll to the right side. Softly open the eyes. And keeping the head and neck heavy, but the chest light, use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting. And return to our virtual circle. As always, camera on for this part whenever possible, so we can be fully present here together. And welcome back to this place. Let's hear from one or two of you. You know how this goes. Mind training. I only pay attention to what I love and what I focus on expands. What did you love in this practice today? Who would like to start? Yeah, Andrea, thanks.
I really loved with the breathing, the feeling of the energy. So for me, this time it was more of a in a forward backward energy to the breathing versus a side to side energy to the breathing.
You know, I love that you said that, because Shavasana is the foundation for the more, more and more subtle forms of yoga practice. The asana, the postures that we do in yoga, work to, it's kind of like an internal vacuum cleaner. I don't know how else to put it. It's called sausha in the yoga tradition. It's like cleanliness, right? Internal vacuum cleaner, like cleaning out all the gunk. And the postures are said to do that, you know, at one, you know, so it's a deep, deep level. But pranayama, yoga breath work, works at an even more subtle, even deeper level. And it's built on shavasana. We do shavasana for a long time. And then on top of that, just letting the breath go and watching it. That's the first practice, shavasana. And once we've done that, once we're able to actually let go, on top of that, we build what's called pranayama, yoga breath work. And so we start doing exactly what you're saying. Like you said, you noticed it more front and back instead of side to side. In the next stages of this practice, of which I'm giving you the foundation, and we can do the foundation for the rest of our lives, we start noticing exactly that. So we put hands on ribs. Can we breathe up? Can we breathe out? Can we feel the breath coming, you know, to the back ribs instead of the front ribs? Can we actually direct the breath and then move it, you know, up the channel of the body, and then put pauses in, and you know, just, and then there's a bellows breath too, like some forceful breath and some, you know, bee breath, where we make this sound like a bee, and alternate nostril breathing. There's a whole art and science that's built on top of this. And I love that your comment has you already noticing this naturally. It tells me that you're deeply working this practice, not working, but being in it. Well done. Yeah, beautiful. What did you notice? What did you love in this practice? Let's hear one or two more. Yvonne, I think I'm going to call on you. I can see you. And you're muted.
Thanks, Wendy and Marnie, for that one.
Throwing you under the bus. Oh, there's Wendy.
And now she shows up. gotta love my people. You're my people. You know what? It was actually, it's been quite a while since I pulled out my mat. Because I've been doing mostly the seated meditation, and today I just felt compelled to pull out the mat, and it was just, it was nice to just really lay down. And it's funny when you say the, you know, once we get kind of totally settled in, and then you say, you know, one more breath and really let go. And I already thought I had let go. And then I was like,
yeah.
So I guess there's always more letting go.
Yes. Thank you for noticing that. And we'll come to that series after this one, after Starry Freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Letting go is deeply connected to loving kindness, is deeply connected to growing our companies. Letting go, huge in this world of COVID-19 and always important for entrepreneurs. Letting go of old forms, letting go of old ways of doing things, learning new ways that can move us along faster, further, deeper. So yes, letting go. And that's also a next level practice, when we're not saying, okay, well, I've already let go, now what? No. Deeper and deeper levels. And the more I practice, the quicker I can release, and the more subtly. So even as I'm talking you through this, I felt my jaw releasing. I know I was holding tension in my jaw, but even in talking you through it, well, I just went to the dentist this morning. No wonder, right? So, and that tension leaks energy. So when we can release at deeper and deeper levels, we actually, it's like people are walking around with all these energy leaks all over the place. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we stop that energy leakage, and the energy that's provided for our mission, for our purpose, is phenomenal. And just from, wow, I didn't know even that there was that deeper level of letting go. And I can tell you, this is a lifelong journey. When I work with my teachers, which I haven't now in a while, it's COVID-19, right? But I have for many years. It's been over 20 years that I've worked with my teachers. And there are more and deeper and subtle, more subtle levels. So those who've been, I've been practicing for 20 years, those who've been practicing for 30 and 40 years, they'll give me instructions and I'll go, what? You know, because it's another subtler level. And then sometimes 5 years later, I'll go, that's what that was. And not out of, you know, we have to get there, it has to be that, but just knowing that there are more levels of this. And it's not by accident that Iyengar was, you know, doing a tour of China, teaching and writing still writing his book in his 90s, you know, and had a practice that most 20-year-olds in our culture wouldn't be able to do, a yoga practice. Like, we have greater potentiality for stores of energy that we can use to deep purpose than we think. So thank you for that, Yvonne. Absolutely. Next level of letting go. Wendy, Marnie, anything you'd like to add?
I was really grateful for the reminder to come back to breath, because I had, like, I was all in my head and like thinking about a bunch of stuff, and it was so good to like let that go and just come back to the breath and feel the expansion in my body and the letting go, right? It's both.
Mm-hmm.
So it just was, I don't know how you know what we all need to hear, but it was like, oh no, she's talking to me. My brain is over there. Oh, back.
Perfect. I'm so glad. And sometimes we can end up doing, if we don't have the training behind us, it's why I like to train this every time we're together, because it's cumulative, right? It's not that, doesn't take that long. And sometimes you go deeper dive. We're going a little deeper dive today, a little more into it. Sometimes we just do a few minutes, different amounts, but it's cumulative through the weeks and months and years. And we can easily go, some people have gone, I would say, because I've trained people who have studied yoga deeply for 10, 20, 30 years and found out that what they've actually been doing, and meditation, deep practice with many teachers, that what they've been doing is just stuffing things inside and repressing more and just busy thinking. And so they're not actually practicing for decades even. What if we have the training to do it right away, right here, right now, and then notice it sooner? So thank you for that, Wendy. And then come back to the practice that will actually help us. And then also being gentle with ourselves. Iyengar said that when he did pranayama, so the yoga breath work that's built on this, he would do practice and it's like, wow, if he could get one good breath, that's a great practice. And that's Iyengar studying and practicing for 70 years. For many of those years, he practiced 12 hours a day. You know, so if that's his aim, it gives us an idea that there's more and more subtle levels of it. And that when we are busy thinking or stuff has come up, to be gentle with ourselves, that is a practice in any little piece of it. I still remember one of our clients, it was 2 years ago now, I think, her very first practice, she'd never done anything like this. And she said, I have never felt like this before. I've never felt this centered, never for the very first practice, you know? And she'd been on the planet for decades. You know, it wasn't that she was 18, right? So beautiful. Thank you. All right. Anything else wanting to be said? Okay. Andrea, was that go ahead.
I have a quick question, I guess, if that's okay at this point.
Yeah, you go for it. We're a small group today, so and there's going to be more time for questions later too.
So when I meditate, I find that there's often a lot of creative download. So when is it a good time to refocus back on the breath? And then when is it a good time to let the creativity flow? Because there's sometimes where I have to jump up and go write something down, because I know if I don't, it's not going to be there again.
Right.
Same way, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
I would love to give you a definitive answer on this, but I have teachers who've told me the opposite. And so let me tell you them both and then how I kind of navigate it. So here's my Iyengar has strict answer. Just go back to the breath. Just keep going back to the breath, right? So that's what my teachers would tell me. Like, let that go, go back to the breath. Let that go, go back to the breath. You know that I also love the teachings. I know, Andrea, you do too, the Abraham Hicks teachings. And they also teach meditation. Meditation is like a cousin to Shavasana. They're not the same practice, but they're related. You could think of all of yoga as a moving meditation, so to speak. So it's like it's a form of meditation, maybe. They teach meditation and they say something quite different than that. They say that, you know, when Esther Hicks first started meditating, and then she'd get these ideas And she was taught to return to the breath or counting or whatever practice she was using. And so she just like, nope, let that go. And she'd go back to it. And I don't know how you guys feel about this, the Abraham Hicks material. So Esther Hicks is said to, you know, they don't use the word channeling, but, there is the, you know, Abraham Hicks is like loving source energy that flows through Esther Hicks. And if you guys, if that's kind of too woo-woo for you, I think with those in the room, maybe those listening after, I don't know, if that's too woo-woo for you, then just think of it as deep wisdom that is being spoken. And I don't mind where it comes from. This is, when I hear them, it's like, yeah, that sounds like truth to me. All right. That's really helpful. So don't need to think of it in one way or another to be able to benefit from these teachings. And so Esther Hicks was pushing that away and then found that that was, you know, again, in her framework of the world and the way I see it, but you don't have to see it that way. That was Abraham, like giving all these messages, like, go away, I'm focused on the breath, right? And so Esther Hicks will just, you know, allow the mind to focus on those things. So those are opposite teachings. And then I can, you know, and I really respect both schools of thought, right? Stories tell us that our world is filled with paradox. Paradox presents possibilities, as far as I'm concerned. So, and it, I think that gives us freedom. You know, I think that gives us more freedom to know that there's more than one way to look at it. And what I do in my own practice, let me see. Mostly I just let things go. I let those thoughts go. Here's like, it might be the greatest thought I think I've thought on the planet. And I just trust in the abundance of the universe. I trust that where that thought is, many more will come. I trust that what I meant to remember, I'll remember after the practice. And so, and the practice to me is so precious that I'm not pushing the thoughts away. That's very different. I'm just releasing them. I'm just releasing them. So for the most part, that's what I do. But I don't fold that 100%. So for instance, yesterday morning, I didn't. Yesterday morning, I was practicing and I had the, you know, the half day retreat all prepared. And then I was practicing and all these ideas were downloading. And that happens in the practice. It's, you know, things that you, as we go deeper into this, things that you've been trying to figure out sometimes for weeks or months or years, the answer will just come because something greater than us is coming through us. And we've been so busy trying to figure it out that we can't listen. So yesterday morning, I think it was a seated meditation. I was like, oh my goodness. Like some of the key things I taught yesterday came 3/4 of an hour before I was teaching. And it was coming so quickly and so profoundly that I went, grabbed a piece of paper, jotted some of them down and went back to my practice. So that's more the exception than the rule. I don't usually do that, but it was so profound. And I was just about to come in and serve and teach you guys. And these were such next level thoughts that I knew that also if I released them and wrote them down, that I'd be able to come back to a more centered practice. And I knew these were coming right directly from whatever you want to call it, source energy, the universe, highest self. Does that help, Andrea? Does that give you a way to navigate that?
Yeah, it totally does, because I know there's a difference between the feeling of thoughts that are pulling me away and a download thought. Yeah. There's definitely a very big difference. So that's super helpful.
Yeah. And one thing I want to add about that too is, and this is totally appropriate too, I wanted to do a deeper Shavasana today because it's going to lay the foundation for what we're doing today in our loving kindness series, as you'll see in, you know, probably 15 minutes or so. The downloads. There was something I wanted to add about that. Right. This is really crucial. I know that they happen to me all the time. I go into Shavasana, I go into meditation. That's where the best ideas will come from for my company, for my life. But it's real important not to go in expecting that or to do it for that, to make it instrumental. Really important. I don't meditate to try to solve a problem. I don't go in there and go, okay, universe, give me downloads, because already it's completely changed the energy of it. I meditate to meditate, do Shavasana to do Shavasana, be there. And then it comes when it does, or it doesn't come when it does, and when it doesn't, and that's all fine. And I know that it's going to help me with everything in my life, including key, you know, entrepreneurial questions that I'm trying to solve, you know, issues that I'm trying to solve, and whether it happens because of a download in the midst of the practice or because I've centered my mind, and then I'll take a piece of paper and a pen and 3 minutes later, I'll have the answer, you know, so then I'm not attached. As soon as I become attached or I'm wanting and I'm doing it for that, the practice is not the same. Am I making sense? That distinction is, it feels subtle, but it's really like they're polar opposite practices, and it's really important. Yeah, so thank you for that, Andrea. Yeah, thank you. Anything else wanting to be said before we move on? Yeah, Mary Kay.
Well, I just came in on all this, and it just so resonates with the lesson I just gave, plus the strategy call session I just had with the person observing the lesson. And it was just everything you said just resonates so purely.
Fantastic. I'm so, 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 so glad. Okay. So what I want to do, this actually wasn't in my notes, but as there's so much arising just from this practice, and I love that, by the way. I don't always see the chat, but Andrew says, may the fourth be with you. How perfect. Love that. As we've done so much with Star Wars lately. Perfect. May 4th. So this wasn't in my notes, but we have done so much in the last while. And, you know, some of you might have made it to every single thing we've done. Maybe some of you made it to one piece and not another, you know. And I would love to do a little mini, allow you the chance to do a little mini consolidation and maybe even learn from each other. Because, like, I know Marnie was deep dive into the challenge, but might not have, you know, might have missed some other pieces, whatever it is, or was struggling with another question, right? And Andrea, I know that, you know, we missed you yesterday, but maybe somebody else was there for that piece. And so what I want to do is just give you, let me see, I'm going to give you 6 minutes. So that'll be, I'm going to put you in pairs. So, Yvonne, I'm going to leave you out of that because I know you're doing some, you know, other things. You've been doing a whole bunch of things for the company recently. I'm going to leave you out of that. So I'm going to put you in pairs, and I'm going to give you 6 minutes. That's 3 minutes each. And we've had the first call in the Loving Kindness series. We just finished all the stories that sell now. We did a full, you know, 7.5 hours of training in the Facebook challenge. We did the half day Words That Sell retreat yesterday. We did the popcorn night. That was not that long ago. There's been so much to serve and support you in the community. And then also just notice how you're playing. If you go, wow, I didn't make it. Well, great. This is a perfect opportunity for you because others will have, and you get, you know, sparks and pieces from that. It's not the same as being there, but what did they get from that? What they got from it might be your most important thing, even if you had attended that whole thing. All right. And also for the one, as you're speaking it, speaking it makes it real. Speaking it allows it to be embodied. So I want you to think through, it could come from any of those places. The popcorn night, there was a 4-hour marathon. You know, some of you were there the entire 4 hours, right? The Facebook challenge, another 7.5 hours of training. The loving kindness first call, I know that was a huge one. Loving kindness makes the impossible possible. I loved those words that was your aha at the end, Yvonne, right? And so many ahas on that last call yesterday. We did a lot, but there was a deep dive in that craft piece that we did in the three C's, and the ahas in the room were, you know, phenomenal. So a lot. And just then looking at the whole of Stories That Sell Now, because now we've completed that. And even if you were here last summer for Stories That Sell Now, you know that it was not the same course. We did an infinitely deeper dive this time around. And so, you know, and also you might be reflecting on that. Like, how did that, it might be that, like, how does one grow a course? What can you remember from before? There's a lot to reflect on. You choose, don't think too hard. Just notice what bubbles up to the surface. And I'm going to suggest that you go 3 minutes and 3 minutes. The one with shortest hair goes first. And the one who's got longest hair can time. And then when the 3 minutes comes up, just switch. Nothing bad will happen if you switch mid-sentence, right? So what are your ahas? What are your ahas? What are your ahas? Speak the whole time. If you don't know what else, it's like, I know I've got another aha. I don't know what it is. Let me just think, like, do a kind of stream of consciousness. Let me think about it. I know it's at the Facebook challenge and there was something that happened that last day. I don't remember. Let me think. Oh, right. You know. So just be easy about it. Any questions before we go in? Okay. So 6 minutes. Let me divide up the breakout rooms here. Okay. Let's see. So Yvonne, you're assigned to a room, but I'd rather have you out of the room just because there's also a couple of things that I'll probably be asking you here. So So here we go. 6 minutes. Enjoy, guys. Don't forget to say yes and go. Let me stop the recording. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. So I would love to hear from at least a couple of you. And I want to give, you guys can still hear me, right? I didn't mess up my mic. Okay.
You're good.
I'd love to hear from a couple of you and maybe even each one of you, because we've got a more intimate group. Again, I know there's been a lot of training lately. What came up for you? What were your ahas? What did you share or what did you learn from your partner that now has gone, you know, deeply into you, or something that's come up after, just even as you were coming back to the room, just so we can do a little bit of consolidation of some really deep dive work that we've been doing. And, you know, this community has been in existence 11 years now, but we have never done what we just did. This is, you know, we've never run the Facebook challenge. Stories That Sell Now has never been at this level. We've never had the Words That Sell workshop. And so this is really cutting edge training. If you're catching even one piece of it, it's huge. So I'd love to hear what happened over there or what's moving in you now. So who would like to go first? Yeah, Andrea, thanks.
Well, first of all, Marnie and I were both really pleased with your alliteration of Paradox Presents Possibilities. So, I actually really like that. That's actually helping me with another project that I'm working on, which is fantastic. But where we really started getting into the conversation was actually about the love and fear. And one of the things that brought me to was a book that I had read, and I was saying how loving the fear is also a really important part in being able to lean into it, to figure out what's under it. Because what's under it is so important. It's so deep for where you need to go. So we were actually, Marnie was having a really great conversation and we got cut off. She was saying something really cool there. So yeah, she put her hand up second. So let her go. Maybe she can finish.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, Andrea. Marnie.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the paradox of love and fear, and of part of what I talk about always is you have to get beyond the fear, right? You know, beyond fear is all the other possibilities. And that notion of when you're coming up against something, are you making the decision based on love or fear? And understanding that it clicked in a different way for me to understand what that meant. Mm-hmm. And to be able to say, well, okay, it might be fear that's making me stop here, but it's love that's going to make me carry on with it in a different way.
That's huge. To have the stamina, the capacity, the ability, the desire to move forward in our companies. Entrepreneurs are risk takers. There's leaps that we're taking all the time. And so to understand, we can Google that, love or fear. Of course we can. But what does it actually mean to enact that, to have that in our bones? And I love that you said fear, you know, it can map onto our lives in different ways. Fear, stop, love, go. I mean, it's possible for it to be the other way around sometimes too. But often the fear will have us contracting. And so how can we expand out? And that is the entrepreneurial journey. It's expansion, it's movement forward, it's just being on a path, on a journey, right? So there's this series is and that training and getting that embodied is foundational for the building of a company and building the right company that is ours. So thank you for underlining that. Thank you. All right, Wendy, Mary Kay.
You can go, Mary Kay. I didn't raise my hand. I just jumped in. I'm kind of a rule breaker.
You go for it, Wendy. You're already in.
I think, like, you guys were talking about, okay, as you guys were talking about love versus fear, like, and then it takes me back to Yvonne's aha of love makes the impossible possible. And I think so often it's fear that makes us think that something is impossible, and that when we can bring love back into it, that makes it possible. And Mary Kay and I were talking about, I was talking about how, like, it's amazing to me how the universe conspires for our good and brings all these different things together to work together to get us where we're trying to go. And I started taking voice lessons in January. And it's really interesting because it's something that I have always wanted to do, but have always been afraid to do it, even as a little child. And so it's like loving myself enough to say, hey, we can do this, and loving that little girl in me and telling her that she's good enough to do this. And I am overcoming fear and singing in front of my church congregation on Sunday.
Ah, yes. Fantastic. Wendy, this is so great. Yay. And that's not how you do anything, it's how you do everything. We cut through a barrier over here. We move out, step outside that comfort zone, right? And then what else, what becomes possible in all the other areas of our lives and our companies? This is fantastic. Thank you. Love it. Mary Kay.
Well, it was good to be able to sort of reiterate to somebody who I knew would get it that I'm surprising myself. Seems like every time I turn around and the all the work and the stuff, and I'm seeing other people take it and do amazing things with just something little that I offered. And that's like really surprises me. And it also motivates me to tell more people that I'm here and what I do. So they can have the choice, like we give our animals a choice in training, the way we train. The people need to, they need to know about this choice. And I just came to this call on a high from both the lesson I gave. She's in my mentorship course, and everything that she got, I didn't even know what I was talking about last night. And I didn't do it perfectly for sure. And my voice, I kept thinking, I'm not talking as fast as Michelle.
It's okay. Everyone would tell me to just speak more slowly. So you're perfect.
Oh, but she just got stuck really out of it. And then the second strategy call person was here, and she's seems enthused and was going to talk to her husband about it. So I'm excited that another person could, that there's even that possibility. Mm. And this is all from just everything just kind of coming together, I guess.
Mary Kay, it's so beautiful. I love the simplicity of it. It's like, oh yes, it's coming together. Like, that's a beautiful journey. And it's both what you said and how you said it that touches my heart so much, because when you said, well, they should be aware of the, I mean, it's many things that you said, but when you said they should be made aware of this choice, because it's, you know, one little thing, it seems like from my perspective, you're saying, and then it moves so much for them. And it is a kind of like, well, who am I to withhold that from them? It, of course that choice should be put in front of them. And when there's that ease and naturalness and obviousness about it, do you know what I'm saying? That of course I should make this offer because that could really help that person, and they should know that choice is there for them. Like all this baggage and fear and stuff that is out there about sales just falls away in that moment. How you said it was so beautiful. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying about that? Just like Of course. Why wouldn't I do that? It just becomes the only logical, not even logical, heart-centered, rational, of course, thing to do. I love that. I love that, Mary Kay. And I also love what you said about not doing it perfectly. And even that's hilarious because, most people say, don't speak so fast, but it's who I am, you know, it's who I am. So sometimes I'm speaking a mile a minute, sometimes in my yogi self, it's very slow and it's just how it is. And so, but letting go of it, of the need to be perfect, the need for it to be just so, the need for it. And that gets to such a deeper level of, I would even say perfection. That's the real perfection, is to be authentically, really, actually ourselves, doing our work in the messy way that we do, making the offers, because why wouldn't we? And even though it's not perfect, we're there because why wouldn't we want to help that person? What a great come from place. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. All right. Anything wanting to be said? And Yvonne, thank you. Yvonne was holding space here with me for a number of things for you guys. So anything, Yvonne, that you want to add, or anyone else, anything else that you want to add before we move on? I just really wanted to tie a bit of a bow today. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to head back over to announcements, just some things, more things to serve and support you. So this is our second call in the Loving Kindness series. The last call is next Thursday, May 13th, at our usual time, 12:30 Mountain Time. And then I wanted to remind you that we have, I think I gave you both the wrong time and date last week. Don't trust me if it comes from me. If it comes from Amy, it's right. We fixed the date, but not the time, I think, but it should be in your inbox anyway. When you register for it, you should have seen the right time and it would appear in your inbox at the right time. So Thursday, May 6th, so this Thursday at 2 p.m. is when I'll be teaching Word Mastery. Be heard by those you're meant to serve. And then we're repeating the call the following day. And again, the details of the time, I think, is 12:30, but again, don't trust me if it's coming out of my head. Go and check your email. It's in your inbox. And you can attend either day, or if you want to check both days, if you want to come both days, you will watch, you get to, like, I do this with my teachers all the time. I want to watch them on the court, you know, so you'll get to see what I change, what I keep, what I, you know, what I learned from the first one. I'm always learning. It's always a new iteration. It's always the next time around. So that can be fun if you want to take the time to come to both of them. And there's always a shorter time to ask questions there, but there's usually a space to ask questions. So it's another avenue to ask brief questions there too. So story freedom. I think you've all booked your bonus ticket, but if you haven't, please remember to do so. Storyfreedomlive.com. And as I was saying yesterday, please book yourself off for that whole time, you know, best you can, rearrange whatever else, because this truly has been and is a life-changing event. This has changed many, many, many lives. And I know that we have never done Story Freedom like we're going to do it this time, because I'm not remotely in the same place as when we last did it. So book off as much time as you can for that. And use, if you haven't registered yet, use a promo code SFVIP, Story Freedom VIP. It's in the chat. Thank you, Yvonne, to choose enhanced access. And also something new that we have created for you. We have sometimes done similar things like this before, but I don't think we've done this in a while. I don't remember doing this in a while. You know, you could correct me if I'm wrong, if others remember something otherwise, but we've built a Bring a Friend to Story Freedom. So if you know somebody who ought to be in that room, if you know somebody whose life could be changed by understanding and accessing the power of a story in the way that we do, it's 3 days deep dive. It is, people have paid much, much more than that to be in that room. And we've got $100 off their registration. And that's just our thank you to you. That's our gift to you. So if you know somebody who ought to be there, you can bring a friend, a colleague, a client, an associate. They'll save $100. And that's a nice way to, if it's a client of yours, for instance, a nice way to, bring a benefit to them. It's a gift to give. So the promo code is in the chat. So SF 2021 friend, and they'll get $100 off. So And then there's, we've got a pre-call. So Story Freedom Live, a bonus pre-event call. That's Friday, May 14th at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So again, lots and lots to serve and support you. And I'm super, super excited about seeing you at Story Freedom. Just before we return to Story Freedom, I just want to mention, I had mentioned that we were going to post my call with Jamie. It's been posted. It's been posted in our Facebook group now. So that is, as I mentioned yesterday, it's worth the whole of Stories That Sell Now investment just to watch what we did with her talk. And then if you still have outstanding questions that I haven't answered, Marnie, I think you're now at the top of that list. Mary Kay was on the top of the list before. I think we've got to your questions, right? We'll get there. So keep posting your questions, and I'll do the deepest dive that I can with each one of them. And Marnie, my intention is to post it in the Facebook group, and just keep me on it. Tag me, text me. If I don't get there, I'm still unwinding from my daughter graduating 6 days ago. So slowly catching up with things. The recycling is still piled up, but we're getting there. The kitchen is clean now, almost. All right. Story Freedom. I just want to return to it for a minute because some of you may have been to Story Freedom before, some of you haven't. And I just want to, if anyone wants to share something about what it's like to be in that room. And again, nobody has been to this Story Freedom before. We have the most, we have the highest level, you know, group coming into the room ever, I would say. Yvonne, is that so? Like, and Yvonne has been to every single one of them. First as a client, and then as both client and team member. And never, right, Yvonne? We have never had a group coming in with this deep a background, with this deep a heart, with this deep, like we've never had this group gathered before. And the level of the group determines what's happening. I have utterly changed since the last time I taught it. There's so much that's been happening. So it's going to be a whole new level. But if anyone wants to share about what it was like for you to be in that room, I would love to just spend 30 seconds on that so that you have some pre-idea of what you're stepping into. I mean, I think you're all going to be there already, but just so you have some idea of what you're stepping into. Would anyone like to share something that you recall of the energy of being in the room at Story Freedom? Anyone like to share? Just wanted to give a space for it. Yeah, Yvonne, thank you. Yvonne, having been to every single one of them, and even the predecessor to Story Freedom. So mm-hmm. Yvonne first started her journey in what Story Freedom evolved into. So she's not only been to all of them, she's been to the predecessor as well. And it doesn't change. I mean, it changes a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's always, I always kind of look from the, you know, event perspective as well when I'm in the, you know, on a team in the back of the room. And it's, you know, it's always amazing to see how people walk into the room, you know, whether it's virtually or in person, and then how they walk out of the room at the end of the 3 days. There's always a very visible transformation that goes on. Whether they jump in, you know, into the program or not, doesn't matter. It's, you know, just those 3 days, you know, the content, the things they've learned, the aha moments that they have. And I know I've been part of that journey myself, right? Having my own aha moments, but it's especially beautiful when you watch that from, you know, what I then do from the back of the room, to see that literal transformation in front of my eyes develop. And that's, I think that's super special, no matter what else happens. Yeah.
Yvonne, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's something that when you walk in that room, take a look around the room, look at the faces. They're not going to look the same by the end. Thank you for that tip. And also, I'm glad you mentioned it. So not everyone might know. Some have been there before, some have not. And so we always give an opportunity for people to step forward and do further work if they choose, right? But the intention always of the event, here's my highest level for the event, whether we, and this for every training that I do, whether I see them only then and never, ever again, or that it's like Yvonne, we're moving into our seventh year now working together, right? Or with Marie, it's been over 10 years, you know? So whether it's a one call or one weekend or a lifetime, yeah. If they only make it to that, Will this transform their life? Will that make a difference for them? Will they walk out different than how they came in? And so that's always the intention for the event. And it has been an extraordinary journey. And I've never looked forward to Story Freedom more than this time around. I'm never more excited. I've never been more excited about it. And I've been never been more like, I want to be there and I'm curious, because of course I've all the content we've built, but it's changing and shifting and growing by who we know is in the room, by what we've learned on that cutting edge. And so I want to be there. Like I wanted to be there yesterday. I want to be there because I want to see what's going to happen. So I know it's going to be an extraordinary event. Anyone else? I just wanted to give this one opportunity. We won't have an opportunity to return to this. Anyone else want to share before we move on? Just a brief opportunity. Okay. Okay. Thanks for that, Yvonne. Beautiful. All right. So today's material, last time we were talking about love or fear, and you guys went back to that in your own consolidation just right now. So I don't need to, you know, repeat or recall us to that. You already did for us. What I want to underline before we go on to the next step in today's material is, how this connects with yesterday. Remember I said on Thursday that you're going to get to see how the different pieces come together. And so yesterday we were talking about words that sell, but really so much more than just words that sell. And one of the things that stops people from finding the words, you'll remember this. I think Marnie, you were probably nodding the most. I remember that. It's like, is fear. We get stopped from finding words that are really our own. We get stopped from making a point. We don't even want to make a stand on something. And that's key to finding words that land. And we think we're making a point, but we're not. We saw that hugely yesterday. I mean, could not have been better illustration of that, right? Somebody thinking they're making a point when they're actually not. Nobody in the room could understand, right? And so, and then somebody thinking it's dead when it's actually a story. So some really, if you didn't make it to that whole training yesterday, I really encourage you to make it, because it was huge. We've never done that before and it was a deep dive. But our words get blocked from fear. And so the dovetailing with finding words and stories in our company, we've just come out of Stories That Sell Now, that land for our clients, for our team, for in our copy and in our website and so many other places, joint venture partners, to find those words. This series is at the heart of that. When I can learn to come from love, not fear, as Yvonne underlined at the beginning of at the end of the call last time, it makes the impossible possible. So it's pretty well established. We really know that's what we want to do. And Marnie, thank you for your vulnerability too on that last call. Like how deeply that touched my heart so much when, you know, that you just made a decision to come from door number two. And didn't know why, but now you had the language to name it. I mean, that was so touching. That was so moving, right? And so so we want to be able to come from door number two, that expanded self, right? From the Facebook challenge, we talked about that. And just think of it as our best self when we die. What would that be, you know, if you weren't there for the door number two, door number one training? So we want to do this. It changes everything in our companies. It changes how our day feels. It changes how each moment feels in our life. We make different decisions. Well, if that's the case, well, then how do we do that? Isn't that the next question? We've got the why. But now how do we do that? Because, and I touched on this a little bit last time, especially in these times, there's a lot of fear out there in the world, right? There's a lot of fear. And like when there's an escalation of fear, there's also an escalation of the possibility of love. Do you get it? Does that make sense? I mean, if you think of stories of, I don't know, this is what's popping into my mind, World War II and, you know, what happened in Nazi Germany and the bravery and love that people stepped up to help the people who were ending up in the gas chambers, you know, people risking their lives to save their families, to save their loved ones, to save perfect strangers. As there's an escalation of fear and hatred, there's also the deeper and deeper possibility of love. So I think we have the best most extraordinary time on the planet for this in our companies. And it becomes even more of a standout quality when there's so much fear. And again, all we have to say is mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, lockdown, not travel, penalties. Like, it's just like blah, blah, blah out there. What would it be to come from love and kindness in all that we do? I was talking to a friend of mine a week ago. I just went for my first vaccine on Saturday. A week before that, I was speaking to a friend who's chosen not to get the vaccine. It's a lot of hatred, a lot of fear. And I said, you know, you're the smartest person I know who's not getting the vaccine. I just want to know how you're thinking. Tell me about it. And we had the most amazing and loving and heart-centered conversation. And one of the things she said was like, nobody's asked. I think they're afraid to ask, you know? So the barrier reducing, eliminating possibility of loving kindness is there for us when we want it. So then how do we do this? How do we, you know, in that moment I was coming from love, not fear, but catch me in the next moment. I went to the dentist office this morning. It's like everybody's masked and gowned and all these questions, right? How do we do this? And there's the best way that I know of that is integrated in any other technique, any other process, any other possibility that I've used. And I've been given dozens, probably hundreds of processes from many of the best teachers on the planet over many years. If I did everything that everybody told me to do, I wouldn't have time to do anything else, right? And they're all great practices, but I keep only the best of the best of the best and share them with you. And there, so what do we do to unplug not only fear, but fear, hatred, anger? How do we unplug that and land on loving kindness instead? And there's this, I want to share with you just a little story. Sharon Salzberg tells a story. And if you want to know more about loving kindness, I brought it just so you can see it. This is one of the foundational books, is just called Loving Kindness. The Revolutionary Art of Happiness. It comes from the Buddhist tradition. I'm not a Buddhist. I just think she's really wise. And she's got some of the best things to say about love on the planet. All right. So Sharon Salzberg retells a story. It's an old Buddhist story about these monks, and they'd gone into this forest, and it was just terrifying. There were these ghoulish howling and squeals, and, you know, just it was terrifying. And the monks went running out and said, oh my goodness, like, you've got to protect us. You've got to, like, they were so frightened. They were quaking in their boots. They could barely breathe. How are we going to face this? Where else can we go? And so instead of the Buddha giving them a different place to go to, he sent them right back into the forest. Straight back into the forest. But he said, I'll give you the only protection you'll ever need. And it was what I want to share with you today. It's called a metta meditation, a loving kindness meditation. And it is said, as all these stories end so happily, they went back, and the tree spirits that were so frightening became their friends, became their allies, became their greatest support. The power of love and kindness is transformative. It's not just that we can leave the hatred over here and leave the anger. It's said to be the antidote to fear and hatred and anger. And in my experience, that is deeply so. I was in a place of tons of fear when my daughter was little. There was a lot going on, and I was fearful for her. And that's when I was taught this practice. Goodness, I guess about 20 years ago now. And I've used this practice for 20 years, sometimes formally, sometimes informally. And at that time, I felt like it's not only that it brought love and kindness into my life, it changed my life. And it felt like it saved my life at that time. That's how I would have put it. I don't like the idea of rescue needing rescue, but that's how I felt at that time. So and I love Sharon Salzberg's story about this. She said she was, when she was first a young meditator, and she went to a retreat, and they were supposed to do a meditation for a month. And she just did one part, and it was just for herself. And she thought, well, that's dumb. It's not, you know, it's like, I want love and kindness for all the world, not just for myself. That's stupid. That's dumb. Can we get onto the real stuff? You know? And then it turns out that after a week she had to leave. So she only did this practice for herself, and like, what a waste of time and how selfish I am and how awful that is. Right. But she'd practiced just for herself. And I can't remember what it was. Like, she dropped the soap, I think it was. And the immediate thought that came into her head, and usually really big editor with lots of, you know, critique inside her head. And the immediate thought that came unbidden was, you're such a klutz and I love you. And she's like, what's that voice in my head? You never sound like that. Actual transformation from the inside of that automatic reaction, not being loving kind because we're supposed to, in order to put on that happy face, in order to do the thing right from the inside. Right from the inside. So I want to share with that what that practice is with you today. And it's a seated meditation practice. Again, I've used this practice for over 20 years, and there are a few practices that I've continued on: Shavasana, the yoga practice, and this loving kindness practice. And so I use it formally in a seated meditation, and now there's no better time for it than now. And I've used it informally as well. So the words of the loving kindness practice, they're very, very simple. And I'll share them with you. And then we're going to actually do this together. I do them in a formal seated meditation. And then I've used them just driving. You don't meditate while you're driving. Don't run into a pole, right? But what will happen is somebody cuts me off in traffic and I'll start the words of love and kindness. And it just comes, that's what comes up in me now. It's not swearing that comes up in me. It's may you be safe. It just comes up. And imagine, I just want to, before I teach it to you, I just want to take 1 minute here, maybe two, for you to think about and for us to collectively think about, like, what difference would that make for you? We already know coming from love or fear, we talked about that and why it matters so much for us. But what if that internal voice inside could actually be shifted so that you'd go, oh, you know, you're saying like with love, you're such close, but I love you. You know, like just like a dance with oneself. Or if you're cut off in traffic and you go, may you be safe. And that's what comes up unbidden. Is it every time for me? No. But is it way, way, way more? Yes. Do I feel way, way less frightened than I used to? Are we taking the biggest risks we ever have in my company? Right in the midst of when people are shutting down, right? So what would that mean to you if you could have a practice that actually changed that editor structure that by now, because we've done the work, I know is inside you sometimes. What would that mean to you? What might change for you? Let's just hear from a couple of you, because otherwise, if we don't do this, why would you do this? Why should, you know, who cares about this, right? How would that change? What would that change for you? Yeah, I saw you, Yvonne.
I think it would feel really peaceful if I could do it.
Yeah.
I don't drive a lot anymore, so there's no too much swearing at my, you know.
Yeah. Translate to whatever it is. I don't drive very much either, but, you know, translate to, you know, you spill the coffee. Somebody, a client or potential client says something you don't like, or a spouse does, or somebody's, you know, in COVID and everybody's all together and they're getting snippy, or somebody at the grocery store is in a bad mood, doesn't, you know, whatever it is. Somebody phones you or you're on Zoom. It's where we spend a lot of our lives, and somebody's snippy, whatever it is. And that your reaction would be, may you be safe. May you be well, right? What would that mean for you? So thanks, Yvonne. What else? Let's take another couple more. So I want you to think about this. Yeah, Mary Kay and then Marnie.
I would save myself energy and suffering. I wouldn't need to be irritated, and I wouldn't have to get irritated with my husband.
Thank you for that. And thank you for that vulnerability and realness, right? And I'm so glad you mentioned that word irritated, because I really do feel sometimes we can handle the really big things. When I was in a car accident with my daughter when she was 7, I was just there, present, focused. Every cell of my being was present. You know, we handle, you know, a friend's in the hospital, there's an emergency. We come to up to the plate. I bet everybody in this room does that. But what about that grinding irritation, that low level daily stuff? Like, doesn't that sap our energy? And what if we're irritated? And some really huge practitioners have counted it. Judith Lasseter did this, the number of times she was irritated in the day. And this is a meditation teacher, yoga teacher, studied at the highest level, really, really aligned. And she's like, oh my goodness, I just did a clicker for, you know, how many times I was irritated or annoyed. And she got to like 73 in a day. She's like, how much energy is being drained? What if that 73 could be 63 or 53 or 24? It doesn't have to be perfect. How much more energy would we have for our mission, for our life? Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Marnie.
The phrase I always use for myself is to move from drama to meaning. So drama is falling into those emotions and the stories that you tell and the, you know, repeating it and call drama, right? Like, I drove up the Deerfoot to work and this happened and that happened and this idiot thought this and this person did that. And instead it's like, what's the meaning of this? Well, these are other people also trying to get to work. Breathe into it. What is it that you need to do? You need to get to work safely. And then the rest of it just goes away.
Right. So drama to meaning. I love that. And you know what I love is, Marnie, as you said that, has it ever happened for you? Because I'm wondering, in the way you described it, just in a moment, what do you think? Was that coming from your head or your heart? That moment of trying to think about them and how they're doing. What do you think?
Well, it comes a bit from the head in the sense that it came from the language of emotional intelligence. And so, you know, that was part of something that I have consciously tried to take on.
Right.
So, for example, if I get behind some elderly person who's driving slowly, what I do now is that I put my parents in the car. And so then that immediately takes it right down to it for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, those kinds of things, but it is a conscious practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm so glad that you gave those two answers, because could you hear the difference, Marnie and others, the difference in the quality of how you said, what you said both times was amazing and beautiful. And I'm right there with you. Right. But the first time, to me, that sounded more like intellectually figuring it out. And the second time you said it was really rooted. Could you guys feel that difference? Did it strike you that way too? Yeah. Big nods from Mary Kay, right? And big nods from Marnie. So that's what I find so, like, could not be better illustration. Because to me, what this loving kindness practice does is the intellectual part can help hugely. I'm not dissing that, but to have that heartfelt, embodied, come from place that's our automatic go-to, not because we decide that that's the right thing to do, but because we're hardwired that way, to me. So thank you, Marnie, because you can all hear that, right? That is the deep possibility and promise of this practice. And the cool thing about it too is that when Sharon Salzberg did it, she did it for a week, this loving kindness for herself, and she didn't feel anything. She thought, nothing's changing. It's only just for me. I've totally wasted my time. So there was not any visible thing that she could see where there'd been a change. So here I'm going to say too, just trust the process. Trust the process and do it for a while and see what happens. Because she was astonished. She didn't think anything had happened whatsoever. She's just saying these words seem meaningless, you know. But the transformation happened anyway. Okay, I wanted to build our why for this a little more strongly because, and thank you for that. I think, how did we get there? It did for me. I want to do this even more than I did before. Right? So, and that's what will get us to our meditation cushion or our seated, you know, you can just sit and close your eyes, you know? The how to practice, once we know the why, the how is very simple. There are different words that people use sometimes for the metta meditation, but the ones that I've loved so much is, may I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. I'll repeat it. May I live with ease. I'm going to write that in the chat for you. There it is. All right. So, and we're going to just, you know, we're going to do this practice a little bit together before we go today. And then my encouragement to you is to play with this week. What if you could take 5 minutes a day? A great way to do this is start your day with Shavasana and end it with a loving kindness meditation. 5 minutes of Shavasana at the beginning of your day, 5 minutes of loving kindness meditation at the end of your day. And the great thing about it is, it's kind of like, do you know, like a perpetual motion machine or something like that? Like it generates energy. Like you subtract those 10 minutes out of something else from your life, but you gain it back in energy. Can you feel that? Like you're going to end up staying up 20 minutes later because you have more energy or whatever it is, or you don't have to take that nap in the afternoon, or there isn't that place where we got angry with that person and we got to fix it and we lose all the energy and time. I know that there's a lot going on for you. This is why I recommend this. And remember, Jack Canfield said 1 hour of work in the inner world is equal to 7 hours work in the outer world. Are you working too hard? Could you afford 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes Shavasana, 5 minutes loving kindness? Can you afford not to? Right? And that sounds, that comes a little bit from scarcity. So instead, what might be the possibility if you did? So here's how the practice goes. I just say these words to myself, quietly to myself. And I don't try to conjure up any particular kind of feeling. Like I actually have to feel safe. What would it, you know, like I don't have to think so hard. It's almost like the words are just sitting in the palm of my hand and I'm just holding them there. I'm just feeling the words themselves, right? No special thing. I just say them. And at first I say it for myself. Sharon Salzberg did this for an entire week. Over and over again, 5 minutes, just keep saying this, start again at the beginning. And once we say it for ourselves, then we say it for a loved one. Usually not somebody that we're in an intimate relationship with, that can be quite tangled, the Buddhists say. So somebody else that we're close to that we love. The one that I've done this most for over the last 20 years is my daughter, right? But not when I'm angry with her, you know, not at that moment. But it's so easy for me to feel love for her. Somebody that you just, you can't help but want something good for them. The next person we choose, and we do it in order. So we say it for ourselves, we say it for them, and you can just do yourself. That's fine. In 5 minutes over and over for yourself. Then a neutral person. The person that I chose when I first started practicing was the bank teller. We don't even go to banks anymore. Well, I'm like, I would see this person regularly, but I didn't feel good or bad about them. I just saw them. A neutral person. And then the next person we say this for, traditionally known in the Buddhist tradition as the enemy. But that sounds kind of grandiose. Think of it as somebody who's maybe caused you some difficulty. Don't go for that one person who you feel like almost completely destroyed your life. Don't start there. Maybe if you, I don't know, you like football. I'm not a big football fan, but let's say you were, and it's like the star player on the opposing team. I don't know, right? It could be that person or somebody who's irritated you a little bit, right? So don't start hard. And Sharon Salzberg wanted to start with the enemy because that felt more grandiose and more, and just bigger, more important. And her meditation teacher said, like, why do you want to do it the hard way? And remember, the results came from saying it for herself. And I told you that when my daughter was young, I was afraid for her. There was a lot going on in our lives and my life that made me profoundly afraid for her. And so my meditation teacher at that time, she'd been teaching for probably 30 years. And she said, Michelle, right now, I just want you to say the loving kindness meditation for yourself, not even your daughter. And I did that regularly for probably the first 2 years. So do not underestimate the power of saying it just for ourselves. And especially in these times when there's a lot going on, it took me 2 years to go to saying it even for my daughter. So me might be further ahead than me. And I think Marie would give me, because she's shared it in our community many, many, many times. I taught this loving kindness meditation at the Love and Kindness retreat that I taught in 2011, 12, and 13. Marie was there every time. And when she first began, it wasn't even the other words that she could say. She just went with the very first phrase, may I be safe, and went there the whole week. And Marie, if you knew Marie then, and you know her now, or if you've even seen her in the last couple of years and all that she's done, She didn't even know that she had a book in her. She didn't even imagine she could write a book. And now she's taught retreats in Bali, and she's a sought after speaker and author, and, you know, has grown her company beautifully and does such fabulous work. And at that time, it was just the first phrase. That's it. So don't underestimate the power of any piece of this. And there's no prizes for going further, right? So what I'd like to do then, any questions without which we can't go forward, because I just want us to experience this in these last few minutes of our call as a kind of like blessing, you know, Shavasana at the beginning and loving kindness at the end. And then I will stay for questions after our official close time as well. But any burning questions without which we can't experience this together, anything that feels confusing, just want to make sure so there isn't energy pulling in a different direction. Okay, so let's experience this together then. Traditionally, this is done seated, but I've done it lying down. I've done this in airports. I've done this in the grocery store, driving, you know, stopped at a stoplight, you know. I've just let these words run through my head. So we're just going to do ourselves right now. And if you just did yourself this week, I think that would be a good idea. So just closing your eyes, and I will guide you through it. Closing your eyes and knowing that you're in a safe place here. Feeling the heart center open. Feeling the ease of breath. Sitting up in the position where you can find space for the heart and lungs to do their work. So opening the heart center, no hardness, just opening the heart center. Feel the breath. Let go of any tension in the face, the cheeks, the jaw. Let the eyes relax. Feel the shoulders release down, heart center open. And just notice what's in your heart center right now. Just see what's there without judgment. Any feelings are there. And any feelings of negativity or angst or anything that you feel doesn't serve you, just let it go. Let it be released from your heart center. It's just not needed. It's not paying attention to that right now. Let it float away. And with each inhalation, let the heart center be filled with feelings of love and care, feelings of ease and worthiness. Breathe in. That loving care. And know that it's a natural human desire to want to be safe, to be loved, to have well-being. It's natural to everybody. It's natural to you. It's right and it's good for you to want the best for yourself, loving kindness, care, worthiness, safety, joy. This is your birthright. Breathe that in. And I'll say it for us. You can say it silently with me. We'll share this practice together. We say the words of love and kindness for ourselves. You say it for you. Quietly, just a voice in your head with mine. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And again, as a blessing for ourselves, saying the words of loving kindness for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And just noticing any feelings of love and kindness, ease, worthiness, joy that have arisen in your heart center. Noticing without attachment or judgment, just noticing what's there, just dwelling there for a moment. And then allowing that sense of peace, safety, joy, love, ease to dwell there in your heart center. You can slowly, slowly open your eyes. Notice the energy in the room. Can you feel it? We're at time right now, so if you need to leave, never any offense taken. Thank you for being here. So time for some perhaps to go if you've got another call. Thanks for being here. And if we have anyone left at the end, one aha, one inspired action to bring us home. And then I'll stay for questions if there are any. So Yvonne, one aha. One inspired action.
Our words get blocked by fear.
Yeah. And how powerful this is then, right? Mm-hmm. And your inspired action?
I'm going to incorporate the metta meditation. I've done it before and then I've moved away from it. So I would like to make it a daily practice again.
I've got chills. Thank you. I'm so, so glad. I know you've had that daily meditation practice for a long time now.
Over 400 days.
Yeah. So proud of you, my friend. Beautiful. And to incorporate this, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am always happy when we come around to this training because it reminds me and it reaffirms this for me and I come back to a deeper level. So I'm so glad. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mary Kay.
I think my aha is experiential. Quietness within excitement. I'm going to process that.
I love that. I love that. When we're actually living in that place, there's aliveness. There's aliveness there. That's, and when you say excitement, that's what's brought to mind for me. Alive, awake, on the precipice of something beautiful. Just on the edge of it. It's about to come and it's here. Thank you for that. Your inspired action.
Inspired action, I think, is... is probably going to I taught the metta meditation before, but it hasn't gotten put into my plan in my mentorship. And maybe it would have. Oh, I know. Yes, it will. It will. It'll go into the Loving Presence workshop in June. Yes.
Beautiful. I'm so glad. Right. So glad to hear this. I've got those chills again. Because as this practice goes out, it has a ripple effect on your students now and what, how much the world is just enriched and up-leveled. At least I can't even find the words by this rippling out of this practice. Thank you for that.
And it works. It works. It's easy for them to start with the horse, with their horse. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I've got those chills again. Perfect place to begin. Perfect. All right. Thank you for this. And again, because there wasn't time during any questions that you'd like to ask. And again, there's always going to be another forum. There's always another place to ask questions. And also, I want to be here to serve and support you in whatever you want to ask about it. And I both want to serve and support you with questions. And also, there's a beautiful energy of this. So if you just want to remain in this energy and close here, that's perfect. And also, if there's anything you want to know about this or anything else, I'm here.
I'm good.
Good?
Yeah, I'm good too.
Yeah, I'm feeling like this is a beautiful place of closure, right? So I wanted to make sure that I stood by my word. But I think that the best thing to do is to stay with this energy right here, right now. So thank you for this. Thank you for being here. Have a fabulous week. And we'll see you, I hope, on Thursday and or Friday as well. Bye-bye for now.